Want to sharpen your game? Join the DFM Coaching Patreon for exclusive technique breakdowns and mindset training. Now, let's get started.
And welcome to Tapped In. My name is David Figueroa Martinez of DFM Coaching. And this week, we're going to be discussing if I had to restart jiu-jitsu all over again, what would I do differently or keep the same? So I'm going to start off with what I would keep the same. In my opinion, I have always been really safety oriented. And I think a lot of that is because I started the sport at 30. I already understood that my prime years were kind of waning and that if I wanted to do anything athletically, whether it was this or some other endeavor, that I would want to continue to do it into my late stages, 40s, 50s, and even 60s, if at all possible. And with that in mind, I came in very conscious of, I don't want to get myself hurt. I need to go to work. That was the main issue. I don't want to go and not be able to enjoy my later stages of my life and career. That I was very safety conscious. I did not roll. And we all have these moments early on where we're a little spazzy. And I don't mean that disrespectfully, but just we're not aware of our space and bodies. But I was always very conscious of, if I roll with this person and I start rolling in a certain way, or maybe we start taking up more space than we're supposed to, roll into another pair and injure them, or get too close to another pair and they fall on top of us. All these things were things that I had in the back of my mind that were always going when I was drilling or sparring. I also never wanted to put myself in a position where I loaded my game with techniques that were heavily athletic based. So if you've ever rolled with me, if you've watched me roll, there's obviously some athleticism in there, but for the most part, it is pretty standard, basic. It's more fundamental. I do have dexterity in my legs that I take advantage of that other people don't have, but I am not super like fast. I'm not super strong. I'm not taking advantage of skill sets or body things that are so beyond what most people can do or so beyond what the human body can end up doing. So my game is pretty basic in that sense. It's Kimuras, it's omoplatas, it's butterfly, butter half guard, like it's sit-up guard. It's nothing super athletic in any of the things that I do. And I've always been really conscious of safety. I've always wanted to make sure that I was good, that my partner, most importantly, that they are good and that they could go to work tomorrow and they could enjoy their families instead of going to the hospital or worrying about some weird injury that's going to prolong their jiu-jitsu career or prolong their time away from the mat. So I've always been very conscious of that. And I think that's something that I want most students to take. I was also really conscious of my own schedule. I always tried to balance my life with jiu-jitsu and work, and I never wanted to get to the point where jiu-jitsu felt like work. So there were times when I had training partners that could train 5-6 times a week, and they were at the gym all the time. And in the beginning, because it was new and I was really like having fun with it, I was just coming around a bit more and spending more time there. But for the most part, most of my career has been 3 times a week. And really, I think that's more than enough. I think it's a healthy amount that lets you grow, lets you implement new aspects into your game. It lets you invest in aspects that maybe you're neglecting, and you don't feel like you're necessarily pressed for time, especially if you're smart with your time. And I think that was one of the sound strategies that I had was I knew I had 3 times a week. I had to be very mindful of that time. And most of my roles had specific goals in mind. If I was working on Kimuras or if I was working on butterfly sweeps or whatever it might be, when I rolled, that would be my focus. And that would be the thing that I was trying to implement. Wasn't always successful, but in the process, you gain so much insight. If I went to training, even if I was doing more, but I wasn't as focused, I don't think it would have given me the same return on investment. So try to be mindful of your training. I didn't want to go in 6-7 times a week like some people, doing 2-a-days all the time and burn myself out or cause issues on the family side and have my wife resent me or have issues with how much time I was spending at jiu-jitsu and being too tired to do anything with her. So balancing that is super critical. It's important, specifically if you have kids, if you have blended families, if you have a job that's taking you 50, 60 hours a week to do. All this is an issue and it's a distraction and it pulls you. So if you can find a schedule that is harmonious with everything else that you're doing, it's going to make jiu-jitsu a lot more fun for you. And it's going to balance out both halves of that life. The other thing that I was really good at, and I think I attributed to my first instructor, Jeff, was that he taught us how to be more systematic. And his approach was he would give us an assignment. And for some, like, for example, mine was butterfly sweep to X guard. And I just had to drill it all the time. And we drilled a ton. And I don't think people drill as much these days, but we drilled a ton. And then when you got to done with that assignment, he would give you the next step. So it was continually building one on the other. So that approach forced me, or at least reinforced in me, that I have to think about things in a lineal with fractions or lines that kind of fracture off, kind of like a tree root. Or if you want to look at the way the lightning strikes, there's a base where you start and then there's these lines that kind of strike out and they curve out and some of them lead to nowhere. And that's where maybe I don't have as many answers. And then some of them continue down that root tree and they get deeper and deeper until they get so far into the game that you have all these answers for all the common responses to any given technique that you do a lot of. So I think for me, it reinforced understanding that there's purpose in each technique and there's a connection to each technique. And if you have those connections working really well, you're you're ahead of the game than most people you're going to end up sparring with. I watch a lot of students now and, at some gyms that I will go to open mats with, or maybe my students will go out to open mats or comps or camps, and they'll talk. And sometimes the feedback that I get, oh yeah, they don't really think about it that way. They think about everything in individual moves. And I think that's a short-sightedness from some coaches. It's not, hey, I'm going to teach you a technique and an A technique and an A technique. And they don't share necessarily the connecting factors and why I might do this technique over that one and how I connect these various techniques into an ecosystem. And that's a superpower if you can get it. Things that I would have changed for myself if I was to start this all over with. Some of these are pretty difficult to do unless you've experienced jiu-jitsu culture for a year or more. My gym choices. Not that I regret going to any of the gyms that I did. But I think looking back at it, if I had the knowledge base that I have now, I would have looked at gyms differently. I would have done more research. I would have asked around more. And again, that's me at 44, 14 years in. My viewpoint is very different than if someone is brand new trying to find these things. And it's hard because you may not know anyone that trains anywhere. You might be the only person you know that is even interested in jiu-jitsu. So that's a hard one to tackle. But I think that if I didn't know anything and I knew that I needed to explore more, I think I would have visited more gyms. I think I would have asked more questions about culture. I would have paid attention more to culture that was in front of me. I think that when you're brand new and you go to a gym, you are so nervous about how people are going to perceive you because you don't know anyone there. So there's that aspect. You're nervous about your own body being in this unfamiliar situation that you're not asking all the questions that you really should be because you're so focused on you and just trying to acclimate to what you're experiencing. I would pay attention to how people are communicating with one another. I would pay attention to how the instructor is communicating to people, his facial expressions, his or her. I would ask questions about promotion. I would ask questions about gym culture, uniform policies. I would ask all these questions now having some experience. Then I did what most people do, And it's understanding that I can only afford this and what's easiest for me to get to. Those are two factors that I had. I didn't have anyone to guide me and tell me, hey, that's a good gym over there. Hey, you'd want to steer clear of that other gym over there. So I had to make assumptions or decisions based on those two factors and then what I experienced when I walked in. Not always the greatest factors to consider. Sometimes it's better to drive a little further and get a really great experience and culture. And then sometimes it's better to pay a little bit more and get those things that you really need. Not all gyms are built the same, and not all gyms are super friendly. Not all gyms are about the culture. And there's going to be some times when you step into a gym that feels good, and then 6 months later, you start seeing things that just don't really feel good. And at that point, you have to make decisions. But they're going to be hard decisions because you've now created roots here that maybe this isn't for me. In that, I think that I would have trusted my gut more. I think there were times when I saw things or experienced things that I kind of brushed off because I had laid roots here. I had spent a lot of time with people here. I loved the people I was training with, but I didn't necessarily like aspects of the gym that were detrimental to a healthy gym. And I have to accept that now. And I have to accept that I didn't make moves sooner and I should have. But I think at certain times you're not ready to, and it just is what it is. And we make decisions for our lives and we move around a little bit eventually. But really, I would have put gym culture higher of a standard for me than just distance and the amount of money I was able to afford. And sometimes you just got to have to make a tough decision. This gym isn't exactly what I want, but I want to do jiu-jitsu. This is the only one that I can afford. This is the only one I can fit in. And sometimes you just accept that gym isn't going to be perfect and you do what you can, and then maybe your finances get better and you make better decisions moving forward. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with changing a gym because now you're different. Like how I was at 30 was not the same man that I was at 33, at 35, at 40, at 44. So you can't outgrow a gym. You can't outgrow a gym culture that maybe was good for you at one point because maybe you were a competitor or you were younger and you got a little older, you got a little more wiser, and it just no longer fits with your personality. There's nothing wrong with changing. But I think I would have really put more emphasis on gym culture and understood how important that was for my own and everyone else at that gym, or any gym for that matter. I think I would have asked more questions as well. I am a shy and reserved person. I'm an introvert. I don't like focus being put on me, even though I'm an instructor now. I've gotten better about that. But I tend to not want to be the focal point of things. So specifically when I started, I didn't ask as many questions as I should. I kind of just watched. I fed off whatever questions people asked. And that was just a personality trait of mine based on experiences that I had previously, unrelated to gyms, that I didn't want to bring attention to me and I didn't want to seem dumb or that I didn't know what was going on. So I just didn't ask very many questions. And I'm now completely opposite of that. If I roll with someone, I don't care what rank you are. There was a blue belt, I think. Yeah, there was a blue belt recently that I rolled with who did a very unique thing from like side north-south position. She collected my arm in a way with her legs that just, it piqued my interest. And I was like, huh. And the way she did it controlled my upper body in a way that I hadn't experienced before. And I made a mental note. I got to ask her about that later. I'm a black belt. She's a blue belt. Most people think, oh, what is a blue belt going to show you? They can show you plenty. They can show you a bunch of different things. So afterwards, I think I gave her a tip or two about something. And I said, I had a question about such and such. And she ran me through it. And I was like, I got to add this. So I ask so many questions now. I ask questions to white blue belts. I ask questions to other black belts. I love learning. So I think my progression would have been a lot faster if I had become more aware of the importance of asking questions and understanding the benefit of it, in that if you appear dumb for the moment, and I just quote unquote appear dumb, you're going to get knowledge based on that. Who cares? I understand it's harder to say, it's easier said than done, but really, I want people to just ask questions. Get in the frame time or the mind frame of understanding your game enough that you can ask questions and then get comfortable with that to the point where you can then ask even more educated questions. Sometimes I get questions like, hey, how do I beat Bob's knee cut? And it's a kind of a loaded question. So it's not a bad question, but when you gain a little bit more insight, you start saying, Bob gets into knee cut and then he gets this underhook and I don't know how to prevent the underhook. That's a more educated question and it's more detailed. It's specific and now we can work with that a bit more. We can work with the original question as well. But like when you can understand more of what's happening and you can say pinpoint a specific pain point, we can dive into that a little easier than diving into the entire position or technique. I think I would have valued belts as well a bit better. I think sometimes we're in such a rush to get to the next belt, next promotion, next stripe that we don't sit in it long enough to really enjoy and value it. I wanted to get out of white belt fast. I wanted to get out of blue belt fast. Blue belt has this motion of like you get stuck, you blue belt blues, you're slightly better than everyone else, but you're not by much. I want to get out of that so fast. I did not value blue belt. I hated it for the most part. I didn't like, oh, what belt are you? Like outsiders, and you'd be like, oh, I'm blue belt. And so what is that? And it's like, well, you earn your white belt just from starting, and then you get your blue after some time. And it was just so low on the totem pole that I didn't like it. And that was a me thing. And it's one of the things that I regret about my jiu-jitsu training is that I did not value that belt enough. I valued purple far more. I really enjoyed brown belt. Purple, I think by far was my funnest belt. But I really enjoyed brown belt because it started teaching me more responsibility and the importance of mentorship and leading and teaching correctly and making sure people around you were okay. But I absolutely hated blue belt. Hated it. I wanted to get out of that thing so fast. And looking back at it, it was a mistake on my part. It was something that I needed to value in all the belts and all the positions that we find ourselves in jiu-jitsu and life. If we spend more time valuing the thing that we're in, life gets a little bit better. You don't hate the situations. You don't hate the days that you're in it. Because there's this weird saying where they said, the younger version of you prayed for the day you're having today or something around those lines. And I think that white belt me or the person that started just before jiu-jitsu would have loved to claim that he was a blue belt. And I didn't give that honest time and honest feedback and honest enjoyment like I should have. So I wanted to move on to other belts. And again, it's a mistake on my, am I in it? I try to enjoy whatever level and whatever phase of life in jiu-jitsu that you're at. Because once you get to black belt, it's over. Like, especially if you're in your 30s, 40s, or even higher, you're not getting a coral belt. You're not getting like those legacy belts that are out there. You're going to stick at black belt. And then you're going to get your stripes every 3 to 6 to 9 years or whatever that is at some point. And there's a certain moment where I had gotten my black belt and I think I was a year or two in maybe. And it had dawned on me, I'm never going to get another belt. I'm never going to have the enjoyment of being called up to the top of the class and being awarded a new belt. It just doesn't happen anymore. And now it's just stripes and you get those just for not dying. If you want to be honest, it's not necessary technique. It's not, oh, I've bestowed knowledge on other people. I'm a great instructor. It's now just about time. If I don't die, I get another stripe. It's kind of morbid, but in essence, that's how it's broken down. And so there's a part of me that genuinely misses the hunt and genuinely misses striving for that next belt. And now it's all about like doing that for other people. But in the moment, enjoy every belt that you have. Enjoy white, enjoy blue, purple, brown. Enjoy all of them. Take your time. Don't rush. Getting to your black belt by a certain time, that was a goal of mine. Didn't really matter. It's a thing I can check box because I had a goal. I wanted it in 10 years and I got that. But aside from that, it's not, it doesn't alter your world at all. So enjoy it all. Enjoy every bad moment, every difficult training, the moments where you think you're about to get awarded a belt or a stripe and your name doesn't get called. Enjoy it. It's okay. Just enjoy it. I think I touched on this earlier. I think I would have used my gut tuition and intuition a bit better. There were times when I saw things at the gym or experienced things that I just didn't speak up about and didn't take action on. It wasn't anything where it necessarily like hurt anyone else, like SA or physical abuse or anything, but just it was a tough training environment where someone was not the greatest coach and they tended to control people a bit more. They didn't want you to cross train. They didn't want you to go to workshops. They didn't want you to go to seminars. They didn't want you to compete at certain things. They didn't want you to post certain things. I think that if I had trusted my gut, I'd be probably further along in certain aspects. I'd be somewhere else. And yes, it sucks to go somewhere else. Sometimes you go to a new gym and you get held back because they don't want to award you a belt because you might be chasing a promotion from a specific big name person. I get all that. But I think I would have maybe made changes earlier. I stayed in a position or in a situation that I didn't deserve to be in. No one does, really. And I let it linger for too long. So I think I would trust my gut, my intuition a lot more. I would give myself the grace and understanding and permission to follow that those intuitions to wherever they might lead. And if you're in a situation that you feel like, hey, is this really the environment for me? You might need to move. And it's okay if you do. I would have done more cross training. Again, that was part of the culture that I was in did not allow a ton of cross training. I think I would have done it anyway. I would have done it far more often. I would have visited so many gyms if I could have. I'm doing more of it now as my schedule permits. But I think that cross training and competing are two great ways to get really good. And you're faced with so many different styles and approaches. And I think it's so fun when you go to another gym and they're going over the same stuff you're going over, but there's a different flair or emphasis that you didn't see. And it's not good or bad. It's just a different take on something that you're already doing. And you're like, oh, I got it. Okay, you do this because of this. We do this because of this. And then you start melding ideas together and formulating your own approach. It's amazing. It's like food. Like different regions in the country have different takes on tacos, for example, or different takes on barbecuing or different takes on steak. And you're in your region and you love it. Tastes great. It's done fantastically. But then you go visit someone for whatever reason, business, personal travel, and then you get this beautiful meal that just, it was a different take on what you were used to eating. And it's just, it blows your mind. That's what cross training sometimes feels like. You get to see and experience things that you would not in your own bubble, in your own pool. So I highly recommend it. Get out there, visit people, make new friends, make connections. You never know when these connections are going to be useful. And I'm not saying make the connections for ulterior motives, but sometimes things open up and sometimes someone knows someone with a job and you're seeking a job. Sometimes someone knows a contractor and you had a leak or some kind of problem with your house and then they can give you a heads up, hey, go work with this guy, go work with this woman. And it opens up doors that you didn't know you had. That's what I love about jiu-jitsu, all the different personalities and avenues that people do and professions, and you get to see and experience things that you normally wouldn't get to do. Last one. When it comes to training specifics, I think that I would have had a little bit more of a balance between gi and no gi. I started no gi, then I got into gi, dropped no gi, and then when I started doing gi or no gi again, it felt so foreign to me that I hated it. I think I would have approached both almost equally. And the reason I say that is because you learn so much from each that you can adapt to the other. And it's just so beneficial. It's amazing to play. And when you have a game that you can apply to both almost equally without even thinking about it and having these pause, jerky motions where you're just like, okay, what do I grab? What do I do here? Usually I grab a sleeve, but now I only have the wrist, but I'm not good with the wrist. When you have a solid game that translates to both, you're just grabbing the body parts. You're controlling without necessarily grabbing a gi. And then when you do grab the gi, your controls are like 10 times better than what they were before. Game-wise, I think I would have continued butterfly, which I've always played. I would have dove into half guard a bit more. I would have definitely done more two-on-ones, gripping sequences, shoulder clamp. I think I would have add that if I was to start all over again. And then I'd sprinkle in more leg locks. I came from a time where leg locks were not a thing, and they were not something that people spent a lot of time on. I would incorporate that a little earlier in my game. Blue, purple, at some point in that stage, so that my game would be more well-rounded. If I look at my game, my biggest deficiencies are leg locks. So I think I would take that. I would fix that. And then I would, I think I would incorporate more no-gi takedowns. I had Sienagi when I was a blue belt that I was really studying. Not something I even bother doing now. I don't like the process. I think that if I had studied more no-gi, no-grip type takedowns, my game would be more well-rounded in that sense. But yeah, I would have a game that transitions really well between the two. And I think I'm getting there. I think I'm about 50-50, maybe 45. Gi versus no-gi. So I'm more balanced than I've ever been. But I think that it would have been more beneficial if I had done some of the things I just mentioned, but earlier, maybe in my blue belt phase, my game would be a lot sharper in those elements. But it is what it is. If you're new to the game, highly recommend butterfly, half guard, two-on-ones, shoulder clamp, and then some non-gi techniques for takedowns. And I know this sounds funny, but just like, I don't want anything that really requires a grip on the collar, for example. I want techniques that I can do in gi and no gi very simply. Nothing that's high risk, just stuff that can get me to the positions that I want to get to quicker. If there's anything else that maybe I've missed that you personally would want to include, if you had to start all over, I would love to hear it. Put that in the comments or DM me or whatever you like. If you have any questions about jiu-jitsu, I am available at dfm.2099 on Instagram and Threads. Pretty active on both. If you want to work with me somehow, you can DM me or reach out to me at dfmcoaching.com. Until next time, thank you so much.